Amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me, hey, welcome. Welcome to Coach Dave Live. Thanks for joining us. Some of you in the huddle here this morning. We've got a crew of 30-some in the huddle this morning. Many watching all across the globe. Heard from a guy in Saudi Arabia this morning. Folks, listen, bigger isn't always better. It's one of the things that that the left tries to do with me. If you ever go to our videos and you go down into the comments, by the way, those of you who make comments, the bad ones, I want you to know this. It's water off my back, man. You make all the bad comments you want. You're just wasting your time, okay? Doesn't matter. Point being, this point I'm trying to make, when you go down, you read through those comments, you get a real feel for where some people are and how the trolls out there do everything they can to try to discourage you. And I just want them to know it doesn't work, boys. Save it. Save your comments. And I also noticed that just so many things going on, so many good things happening, so many people trying to do so many things. And I was thinking of it this morning as Michelle and I were just kind of two ships passed in the night last night. Got a lot going on. And getting up this morning, I was just bragging about all the wonderful things that are going on and guys out there actually fighting the fight. I started to say this, bigger isn't necessarily better. Mega churches, what are mega churches? They're full of a bunch of people who sit on their butts. You go to a small fellowship, if you have a good pastor, then he puts you in the game. He makes you do something if you have a good pastor. And one of the things that is really, really destroying it, and I'm doing everything that I can. In fact, I get criticism about this. I don't believe in top-down management. I just don't believe in top-down management. And that's our churches are designed as top-down management. And many of the organizations that we're trying to work with are top-down management. We say, Coach, what do you mean by that? Well, you got to get the approval of the guy at the top before you can reach the people. You want to try to go into a church? You want to go into a church and try to take my message into a local church? Well, I have to go about three layers of top-down management, of pastors and pastors' assistants who think for some reason they have to protect the flock from what I might be coming in to say. Right? You know what I'm talking about? They don't censor their TV programs. They don't censor their radio programs. They don't censor the porn that they look at. But for some reason, boy, oh boy, if I happen to want to walk in there and bring them a what I would call a fresh word, a different perspective on the gospel, oh no, no, we can't have that. And I know this, we're building champions and warriors right here at Coach Dave Live. This ain't for everybody. It ain't for everybody. The men of Issachar understood the times in which they lived and knew what it was that Israel should do. David's men in the cave of Adullam. This isn't for everybody. So these hacks come on and say, oh, gee, Coach, you sure are a big deal. 30 people in your queue. Ha, ha, ha. I'm thinking, well, dude, how many you got in your queue? How many people do you have to get up every morning at 7 o'clock and come and listen to you? Huh? So, folks, listen, don't let them take you down through criticism. It's so easy to tell the guy that's doing it how he could have done it better. And I get sick and tired of jabs from brothers, not at me, but at other brothers. I get sick and tired. I read the commentaries. I see some of the things people say. Hey, dude, if you ain't doing anything, shut your damn mouth. That's what I think. Leave the people alone who are getting stuff done.
Amen. Yeah.
Peanut gallery folk. Peanut gallery. Wow, I'm not going to do this anymore. Well, yeah, well, good. Hell, go watch something else. Hey, I'm feeling good this morning, actually. I want to say this very quickly. I have a new shirt on today. Anybody out there like to have one of these new shirts on? I got a couple dozen of them. Just to make us a sensible offer on the internet. $20, $25. Send us a donation. Tell me what size you need. We'll shoot it right out to you. There you go, Jared. Amazing. We're on the same track because I was thinking of this. Teddy Roosevelt said, it's not the critic that counts. No. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done it better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm and great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. I know victory, and I know defeat. I know both of them. I know both of them. And so therefore, I look at things differently. I don't feel the same as the average person feels when I see a football coach or a basketball coach lose a game at the end of the game. I know that feeling. I know what that's like. That was my life. I can't think of the word I'm looking for. I see a basketball game where a guy wins or loses at the very end of the game. I know that feeling, man. I know that. I know the effort and preparation that goes into it. And the problem we're facing is a lot of you want victory without any struggle. That is never going to happen. No victory without struggle, boys and girls. If you get victory without struggle, it ain't a victory. If you get victory without struggle, it's because it wasn't anybody fighting against you. And I'm going to tell you something. If what you're fighting for is worth something, you're going to get some opposition. And I'm just going to say this to a lot of you out there. Quit pecking on your brothers. Quit pecking on your brothers, telling their brother how they ought to do it when you ain't doing nothing.
I feel like it's a backseat driver, brother.
Go on in, Mike.
Have you, Coach, been to the Teddy Roosevelt Island?
No.
We should add that to the Matrimony Day, God's Way Day that we're going to have. You and Michelle and Polly and me, I think we're the only ones that are committed to standing up for marriage on the Supreme Court, at least that I know about, on June 26th, which is a story in and of itself. But anyway, we should go to that island. It's most people don't even know it exists. It's a whole island in the middle of the Potomac, right across from Arlington Cemetery, which contains 20-foot-high granite monuments. And then in the middle is a huge statue, maybe 15, 20 feet tall in granite of Theodore Roosevelt. And on these maybe 8 huge granite tablets standing erect in a semicircle, big, big thing in the middle of the island, are his quotes about manliness, right in the heart of Washington, D.C.
Unbelievable. He's probably Donald Trump 80 years ago, isn't he? It's down to really. He was a man. I never knew that, Mike. I never knew that. Hey, let me jump on some stuff real quickly. We're heading to Louisville. We're going to be in Louisville tomorrow night. And Jared, pull the schedule up for me real quickly, because I said to my wife today, at what time does it start? And she kind of looked at me like, what? This event we're holding down there, what time does it start? So let's all get on the same page here. We're starting that event. Bobby's got it up there. Friday, May 10th from 3 to 7 p.m. Wow, Bobby, I'm glad I looked at that, man. I got to get there early. 3 o'clock, 3 to 7 p.m. We're going to be at the huddle. And then Saturday morning, we're going to go to the Louisville, not Planned Parent, but abortion clinic. Come and join us at that. If you're anywhere close, drive in for the day. You'll be glad you did. Quality Suites conference room. Looking forward. I don't know why he put 3 to 7. We're going to sit around. We're going to talk. We're going to do some fellowship. We're going to eat some pizza. We're going to make it a good time. So get there. If you can't make it right at 3 o'clock, that's okay. Get there as quickly and as soon as you can. Fire and Brimstone. David Arthur's in Iowa this weekend. Tom Dunn. I love Tom Dunn. I love David Arthur and Denny and the crew up there. The Fire and Brimstone. That's going on up there. Occupy 2000. I'm not going to talk much about that. You got. I always put Occupy. All hands on deck. June 13th, big event. Say, Coach, how do I choose which event to come to? I don't know. I really don't know. But try to make yourself available to try to come to them. The event and is going to be really good. Occupy, I'm sorry, yeah, the Occupy. I get my brain work. I swear, my brain. Calm down, Coach. All hands on deck. That's June 13th, 14th, and 15th. It's going to be great. We are going to Chappaqua, and I'm going to talk more about that. The fact that we're going to focus in on that a little bit here today. I hear you. I hear you. I hear some of you rolling your eyes. I hear some of you. Time out, man. Tell me your plan. Tell me your plan. I'm here ready. Give me your plan. What are you doing? What event are you running? Are you heading up that I can come running and help with? Which one? Tip my cap to Jared. We're going to go to the website here. I'm at the Equal Justice Tour. I'm going to explain some different things to you there. Jared and Mike have done a yeoman's job. I want to say something publicly about Mike Heath. Mike Heath's finally quit sucking on his thumb. And I mean, there's no, his whole life is turned upside down, destroyed by Alinsky tactics and career shift. And why is everybody always picking on me? And he's bouncing back. And I just publicly want to say, I'm glad you're bouncing back, Mike. I want to thank Mike Spaulding. God bless Mike Spaulding. Mike Spaulding is a good writer and broadcaster. He wrote a profound commentary this week that I didn't get a chance to get to. I had it up, Mike. I just didn't get a chance to do it. And he's a team player. He emailed me and says, Coach, I'll see you in New York. I'll be there. I'll be there in New York. Like he doesn't have other stuff he needs to do as well, right? I want to thank Gary Pierce. Gary went through surgery on Monday. He's left-handed. It's his left arm, so he's learning how to do everything with his right hand, which is really good. And Gary's going through an archiving. I have about, I'm not making this up, about 1,500 videos online. And Gary's going through every one of them, cataloging them, getting them into some type of form so people are able to find them. We got stuff going on our website that we're going to do. I thank Gary for that. Mike Heath, blah, blah. People down in Texas. I sent this to Chad. Maybe he'll pick it up. I'm going to be in McKinney, Texas, Tuesday night to speak at an event down there. They still have a tea party down there, I guess. Jared, I don't know if you can flash that up there, the McKinney Tea Party thing. It's the second one down. No, it's not on that, Jared. I'm sorry. It's on an email, the stuff I sent you. Stephen Callis is a guy. If you're in that area and you'd like to come, there it is, McKinney Tea Party, upcoming events. I'm flying in Tuesday, doing the event, flying home on Wednesday morning. So there it is. You want contact information? All that stuff is available right there, McKinney Tea Party, and a phone number. I'll give you a phone number real quick. Well, there it is. Email me. Say, Coach, where is that? I'll be glad to send it to you. So I'll be doing that. Okay, cool. Here's what I'm – listen, before I jump in here real quick, anybody got anything for the good of the group? I want to publicly thank, again, Mark Trump for a wonderful job on Hagman last night. He's all in on this Equal Justice Tour. Jared and Mike Heath have done yeoman work on the website, getting that stuff up and running and switching domains and doing all that stuff and populating it. Great, great stuff. And Matt's, I'm going to call you Szymanski, although I know it's not right, Matt. I got just like Mark Trump had a mental block about Chappaqua, I have one about Szymanski, whatever it is. I know you're out there, Matt, and I appreciate it. What's your name, Matt?
Siskevich, Coach.
Siskevich.
There you go.
That's
much closer.
Siskevich. Matt, bless you guys, Matt. Just real quickly, jump in here and talk about your time with Hagman. Give you a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. We just went on the air with Doug yesterday, and Mark, as always, is very articulate and very spot on, and he conveyed our message that we're looking just for equal justice. That's what we want. We want equal justice under the law to bring Hillary, if she's found guilty, so if he. We want equal justice so that we can stop the unruliness that's here in the country. Because if we actually have equal justice for everybody, it's going to change things in a very dramatic fashion.
Very simple question, Matt. Szymanski.
Sure.
Listen, folks, how much longer are we going to wait for somebody to do something? And can somebody tell me who is that somebody? I always talk about I'm looking for somebody else. Somebody has to light the spark. We're lighting the spark. Some of you, I get your emails. I'm telling you, shame on you. Shame on you. calling us what, media hogs and sensationalists, and shame on you guys as you sit on your fat butt pontificating behind your computer, maybe. You ain't doing nothing. We're lighting a spark. We're lighting a spark, aren't we, Matt?
The keyboard warriors that are sitting there telling you that, Coach, I'd like to hear them say it to me. Yeah. Okay? They need to get up and do something.
We're doing
instead
something.
Of sitting there and insulting what action we're taking. Join us. Stop being a pansy and a candy and get up and do something with us.
Mark Trump, are you here, Mark? What scripture did you use yesterday, Mark, regarding justice? Do you remember? I didn't even look if you're in here today.
It's Proverbs 23, Coach. Basically, justice and judgment is more important to God than sacrifice.
I'm looking. We got it up here on the screen right now.
Put in justice. Just search for justice.
The Father of righteous, 24, the Father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begat the wise child shall have joy, right?
No, but there were two. One of them said that justice provides terror to the wrong, to the evildoers. That
Amen.
Was what I finished with. So then I made the call for anyone who wants to do harm to the evildoers, you know, to come join us. But
Jared, Isaiah 59, keep going, Mark. There it is. To yep. do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Do you guys That's see right. that? What is that? Proverbs 21:3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Right there it is, buddy. Right there it is.
I'd like to send a thank you out to the people who called and has been supportive. I've gotten some good information that we're going to infuse into our preparational training. Also, if you got a minute, Coach, I sent over a couple documents to Jared that I read during the Hagman report. It's very interesting. One is a sentencing document for Saucier, or however you say his name. But this is the seaman on the submarine who actually violated the classified material breach.
Mark, if you'll hang on a second, I've got that worked in a part of the stuff we're going to do. If you hang on there just a second.
Good. And the second one is President's pardon. And, you know, I put the call out about why in the world didn't Hillary get pardoned? So these are the actual documents that we could talk about. It'll only take a minute what I uncovered, but okay. It's pretty amazing. But again, thank you to Dale and others who are supportive. And everyone knows if you can't come, there's plenty of things you can do to support. You can get the word out for us. You can talk to veterans. You can have folks donate. You can think about who could I tell that could put a lump sum in there to help us help fund this in future events. Be thinking along those lines because we really believe this is going to be a big impact. We really believe that.
We really do believe it. Jared, let's take him real quickly. Thanks, Mark. Folks, I want to build a spiritual foundation here first of why we're doing what we're doing. But before we do this, I want you to go to this is the new landing spot, okay? The Equal Justice Tour. It's the Equal Justice Tour because we're going to more than just one place. We're starting at Chappaqua, but it's a tour. It's a tour for equal justice, right? Now, Jared, just give people a flavor of what you guys have populated on this website. Just scroll down through this thing a little bit. There's a picture of Bill and Hillary and Cuomo marching in this parade. We're going to be there marching on this parade last year. I don't know if they'll be there again. So you can share this with your friends. The situation. They've done a great job of explaining the situation. What Hillary did, what the code is, what Director Comey. In fact, there's a video there of Comey charging Hillary and then saying, "Well, nobody will ever prosecute her." He admits she's guilty. He admits they have the evidence. She's guilty. The FBI confirmed that 110 Clinton emails and 52 threads contained classified information. That's a felony. Having her own server is a felony. Clinton handed over 30,000 emails from her private server. She withheld 31,000. Those are felonies, folks. And we've got the statutes right over here. Now, how do we know this? James Comey told us. He told us she violated these. So she has not been charged. Now, the point that Mark Trump's making, and we'll get to in a second, he's going to give a situation where a guy who did the exact same thing that Hillary did was charged, was had to be pardoned by the president of the United States. Why isn't Hillary being pardoned by the president of the United States? Because she ain't never been charged. Why hasn't she been charged? Because there is not equal justice, right? You with me?
Yeah,
scrolling down through there. There's a lot of great stuff on that website, folks, and we're going to continue to populate it, but it makes the argument for us is exactly what we're doing. Event details, veterans, Christian patriots, more details to come, okay? More I feel you, Larry. Come on in.
Yeah, you know.
Go to Isaiah 59, Jared, while we're waiting. Folks, again, equaljusticetour.com. Equaljusticetour.com. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you talk to folks about this situation and stuff, and they say, but she was exonerated. She was exonerated. Exoneration doesn't mean squat. What counts, if you're truly exonerated, is a jury that found you not guilty. Prosecutor that decided not to prosecute you at that moment, an exoneration is not a permanent thing.
So, Larry,
Tell me if I'm wrong, Roger.
Larry, if I went out and shot somebody and killed him, and they determined that, boy, that really wasn't, I didn't mean to really kill him. Are they going to say, well, there's not a jury in the world that would, the prosecutor in the world that would prosecute him on that? He didn't intend to do that. Larry, intent has nothing to do with it. And they exonerated her. Why? Because we see what's going on right now, right? It's not equal justice. We're for equal justice. Does it matter to the Lord? Well, let's try Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers are iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None call for justice. Matt's calling for justice. I'm calling for justice. Mark Trump's calling for justice. Are others calling for justice? Yeah, there's a lot of people that are calling for justice. Nor any plead for truth. Nobody, see, we can't let them. The Lord is not going to like it if we just continue to cover all this stuff up. None call for justice, nor any plead for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They can achieve mischief and bring forth inequity. Of course they do. Scroll on down, Jared, verse 7. Their feet run to evil. Scroll on down, Jared, to, the way of peace, verse 8. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction in their past. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their going. Verse 9, therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake. Do you guys see it? It's in the scriptures everywhere you look. The Lord wants justice and judgment. He wants that. It's not the job of James Comey. It's the job of God's people. Christian people to rise up and do what needs to be done. Needs to be done. Listen, we're not calling for anything to happen to Hillary Clinton other than she be held to the same level of justice and judgment as everyone else. Continue on down there, Jared, because it's not done. Go down to verse, where is it? Go to 13, Jared. 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, in Chappaqua, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth fails. Why does truth fail? Because there's no justice. And he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it made him ticked off that there was no judgment. You see it? Come on, man. This is in the Bible too. And then he said, and he saw there was no man and wondered if there was no intercessor. He said, isn't there anybody going to do anything about it? I know some guys are going to do something about it. It's a call. Somebody's going to do that. Okay, so now that I've laid that groundwork, you say, Coach, are you mad? I'm enraged. Why aren't you? Why aren't you? Will you be forgiven of, do you get forgiven? Will Randy Lunsford be forgiven of spitting on the, he spit on the sidewalk and has to go to court. Right, Randy? You spit on the sidewalk and they drug you into court, yes or no?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Hey, huh? Hey, Coach.
But you can be a traitor to your nation. That's okay. No, not a prosecuting attorney in the world that would ever take that case up. They took up Randy spitting on the sidewalk. What are you talking about? Go ahead, Dale.
No, I was just saying that it wasn't even the sidewalk, Coach.
Yeah, it wasn't even the sidewalk. Wasn't even the sidewalk.
Hey, I want to say a couple things, Coach. First of all, a few things about critics. You know, they never made a statue to a critic. And number two, a lot of these people, you know, I challenge you, come join us. If you have a better idea, great. Come join us and help, you know. But I think a lot of them are cowards. And so that's their way of getting out of it is by criticizing, though they're doing something.
Yep, that's right. So, you know, I'd be behind you. I'd be behind Coach, but you know, that's not really the problem. That's just top fighting symptoms. That's not really getting to the heart of it. Well, tell me what the heart of it is, and tell me what it is we need to do. I'm moving forward. I'm sorry, Paul. I walked all over you. Hang on, Mark. Go ahead, Paul.
Yep. No, you're good. You're good. You're good.
Okay. Good. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, there's lots of ideas, and that's what I do. I come up with ideas, but we move them forward. So if everyone can sit down after this call and write down five ideas, think about what we could do, and then go do them. Go do them. Don't just hand them off. Pick up the torch and go try to implement your ideas. You know what will happen? What will happen is you're not going to go write them down. Why? If you can come up with ideas, you can help move those ideas forward. So I'll challenge every person to write down five ideas on how you can help this event, and then I want you to start working on them. And if you need help, call me. Call one of your brothers. If you need help with one of those ideas, call somebody to help you do it, but be in charge of your idea. Move it forward at one click, just one click. And get used to moving things forward, and that's how you'll get off the couch.
Amen, Mark. Now, folks, listen.
Here's what I'm gonna, Dave, here's what I'm going to say. Look, we already have some ideas on the table. Get in behind it and push that agenda forward. Everybody's going their own way. Quit going Amen. Their own way and Amen. Get on board. That's it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well,
hey, Coach.
Folks, this is so mad. I can't even tell you. This is so massive. This initiative is so massive. This will be a Goliath moment. I'm telling you, folks, I know that it will be. Yeah, come on in.
Okay, take a look at 2 Corinthians 4 and a couple things down from there as well, a couple verses down. It speaks to what you were just reading out of the Old Testament.
2 Corinthians 4?
Yep.
Okay, I'm talking. What, do you know exactly where I'm at? What the whole thing? The whole thing.
It's 4, 5, and 6.
Let me get that together. I'll deal with this tomorrow. Let me bless you, Matt. 1 Corinthians 4, 5, and 6. It's application.
2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Verse 4, 5, and 6.
2 Corinthians 2. Is that what you're saying, Matt?
2 Corinthians. Yes.
4, 5, and 6 of 2 Corinthians 4. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
But if our gospel be hid, I'm starting at 3. It's hid to them that are lost. I'll preach right there. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen, folks, I want you to understand something. The Bible says this, that the law is the schoolmaster that drives us to Christ, brings us to repentance. That's what it says. The law is the schoolmaster. Folks, do you have any idea? Listen to me. Do you have any idea how many of that deep state are going to meet Jesus as a result of justice coming to them? Do you have any idea? He said, Coach, we just need to share the gospel with them. You're daggone right we do. Let's lock them up. Let's lock them up and let's let them show they're not above the law. They're not above God. And let them drive them to their knees and they'll meet Jesus. I don't know about you. I met Jesus in hard times. Anybody meet Jesus in hard times? How many of you met Jesus in good times?
I met Jesus being locked up. I was in lockup when I met Jesus. He had to get me where I stopped running before I'd listen.
But brother, there, folks, this is so important. See, we want to grant mercy before judgment. We cannot. It dishonors our Lord if we let Hillary Clinton be declared not guilty and she ain't even tried.
Coach,
that's spitting in the face of God.
Coach, it's an embarrassment. Justice must be served. That's the entire point of it.
Because justice drives others to Christ.
Amen, brother. Listen, you know, I was thinking about Leo Frank, right? Do you know Leo Frank got a pardon, but the pardon did not exonerate him from the rape of little Mary Fagan?
Mm.
It's the whole thing, because you can't, they know they can get away with that. They could get away with giving him a pardon, but not exonerating him from the rape and murder of a 13-year-old girl.
Amen. Chad?
Well, Dave, I was just going to say, look, for all the naysayers out there or whatever, what is not honorable about holding Hillary Clinton and those like her accountable? What is not honorable about it? I just don't get it. How can you not support this?
Grace, grace, grace. Well, Chad, it's already over, and she's paid enough.
You're willing to give grace to everyone else except for your own people. Grace for us. We're trying to go out here and get something done, and you guys are hating. I don't want to understand it. I just don't.
Okay. Amen, Chad. Amen. But listen, if you guys didn't get a chance, I'm looking at the clock. Wow. The commentary that I wrote today at newswithhughes.com, I said they've stolen this nation. The left has stolen our nation by force. And I go into the difference between force and violence. It's a terrific read. I'm not going to do it now. It's not terrific just because I say it. I want, it's good. It's always good. But I want to circle back to Mark Trump and what Mark was talking about here. Hang on a second, Mark. I got to do this. Jared, go to the First Amendment, please. I'm sorry. First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. This is we all know about freedom of speech and all that, right? Listen, okay, but look, I want you to understand this. First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people or the right of the people or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. Congress shall make no law, and neither can a city council, and neither can a local police force, and neither can the city of Chappaqua make any law or abridge the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. A redress of grievances means what? Well, you have a grievance, and you have someone that you take it to that tries to make your grievance, try to fix your grievance. I have a grievance with the American government. Mark Trump has a grievance with the American government. Matt has a grievance with the federal government. And we are going to have, we have the right, just as much as we have the right to freedom of speech and of religion, we have the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. We're just going to happen to do that in the city of Chappaqua. Now, we've done a lot of groundwork. We've got attorneys lined up. We've got statements, paper statements that we're sending out to all the elected officials saying, we are coming. You cannot prevent us. Here's the statute. Here's the law. Here's what the Constitution says. You will protect us. You will defend us. We are going to go do what? Peaceably assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. Number one, boys. Number one on David Letterman's list. The number one. It's amendment number one. We're going to go do that. Anybody out there have a grievance with what's taking place in Chappaqua? Anybody? I think you do. Jared.
Absolutely, Coach. And you know, just like any good storyteller, the first sentence, the first words
set precedence for everything following. The first thing of that Constitution was the establishment of religion and the expression thereof. Our faith demands justice. That is the expression that goes on there, because God not only desires more of justice than sacrifice, but Micah 6:8, he says he requires justice.
How dare the FBI come to my house and try to intimidate me out of freedom of assembly and petitioning the government for a redress of my grievances? How dare they do that, folks? How dare they?
I'm with you and I'll be with you.
Thanks, Serge. How dare they do that? How dare they do that? Yeah, Vic.
It's what's going on right here is like what goes on in Mexico. In Mexico, you know, if you got enough money, you can buy justice at any degree. And this is what's going on here. Now, what happened to you, this is common. This is the police that they call them Las Madrinas. And Las Madrinas, these are the bad narcs. These guys are supposed to be catching all the cartel guys. Well, these guys, they go and shake down anybody. And they shake them down to see how much money they can get from them, and then they toss them in jail, and then they just leave them there to rot.
That's right, see, that's Vic. I want to move on from. I move on. Listen, I noticed a comment. God bless you, Victor. I'm not stepping on you. We're in a banana republic. Somebody said, Linda said, when did the march become a tour? Well, listen, that's why we have attorneys, and our attorneys dug into all of the city codes. In Chappaqua, New York, if you have a march, it requires a permit in their city code. If you don't get a permit, they don't let you march. You apply for a permit, they delay it, and then all of a sudden, they at the last minute, they give it to you, and it's too late to do anything. A parade requires a permit. Say, we want to have a parade, and we want to march through Chappaqua, and it requires a permit. We can't just show up. But did you know that a tour is protected? No restrictions on a tour. Huh? A procession of automobiles. No restrictions in the city of Chappaqua on a procession going through the town. So we have changed it to a tour at the request of some legal beagles who said that they have not a leg to stand on if they try to prevent you from driving through that community. That's why, Linda. Go ahead, somebody.
That is awesome, Coach. That's the framework behind it. If I can piggyback on something that Chad said earlier about just everybody doing their own thing, you know, the discussion that went on after the show, the presumption of what needs, I'm just, you know, asking Mark even or whoever, put out a list of, I mean, I know the ideas is Mark's like, what are your ideas? I'm asking, like, when I go to Piccadilly, I can't get sushi. I got to get what Piccadilly's serving. I'm saying, Mark, what is it that you need that you say, hey, you know what? This is falling in the cracks. Is there anybody out there that can help with that? You know, from the standoff that we're back here, what can we do, you know, to help besides the finances and, of course, prayer?
Great question, Dale. Research. There's a lot of different things like that.
Do we want to answer that?
No, Dale, got great question. Let's not do that right now because I'm heading somewhere here real quickly, okay? Great question. Maybe we can take that on a little bit tomorrow. Let's go to the 14th Amendment very quickly here. 14th Amendment, which is the one that they've used to ramrod everything. Everything that you, gay marriage, abortion, everything has fallen under the 14th Amendment. And I just want to read the 14th Amendment to you. All persons born or naturalized in the United States. Hey, that's me, and that's Mark Trump, and that's Matt, and that's Serge. And subject to the jurisdiction thereof, that's me, our citizens of the United States and of any state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property. No state without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. That's it. That's the 14th Amendment.
Hey, Coach.
To say that's what we are demanding: equal justice, equal protection under the law. Yeah, come on in.
Click on that link under equal protection in the queue.
Jared in the queue. Mark's got one in the queue over here.
The Law Cornell equal protection. Click on that link if you could. All right, this is an overview of that last sentence in the 14th Amendment. This is what it's referring to according to Cornell Law School. There's an overview there, but if you just scroll down through here, Jared, you'll see where due process is included, where we have equal protection. There's many other areas that are defined under equal protection.
Mark, right there on the screen, it says this. Equal protection forces a state to govern impartially, not draw distinctions between individuals solely on differences that are irrelevant to legitimate governmental objective. Thus, the Equal Protection Clause is crucial to the protection of civil rights. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
That's it. That's it, Coach. This is just a reference as we explore how to fight against oppression. We need to understand what equal protection means in the way it was written in the 14th Amendment. And I wanted to share that.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Okay, guys, you get it? You get it? Jared, go to the Declaration of Independence real quickly. See, listen, we are not the lawbreakers, fellas. We're not the lawbreakers. We got this whole thing upside down. We are a government. We're formed as a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, a government of the people, not a democracy, but a republic, a constitutional republic, a representative government with the people ultimately in charge. Scroll on down a little bit more, Jared, just so all of those the sissy pastors standing in the pulpit calling us names for standing up. Hang on, stop right there, Jared. Go back up a little bit. Go back up just a little bit more. Okay. The right of the people to abolish it and to institute, go up one more sentence, Jared. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, what? The right of the, we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men are created, endowed by the Creator, certain inalienable rights among them, with life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and to ensure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving the just powers from the consent of the governed. That, when any form of government becomes destructive to those means, what? It is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such a form as of them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under the absolute despotism, it is the right, it is the duty of the people to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Boys, that's us.
Tour of duty.
It's our duty, man.
Get your boots on, people. Get your boots on. Get ready.
You're right there. That when I was waiting for it, I salivate. It's no longer a right. It is an ordered duty of the people.
It is, brother. It is. Hey, you know what? Scary. Scary as hell, isn't it? It's scary. Think who we're taking on. Who? Hillary, hey, you know how many people Hillary's killed? Well, maybe I'm 188. I don't know. But do you think we're going to win this battle without engaging it? Do you think that we can just pray our way out of this mess?
Hey, brother, that's right. It takes action.
No, we didn't pray our way out of the First World War or the Second World War. There's a lot of prayer going on. But that didn't got us out. Okay, Mark. Man, I'm sorry. I got to hurry. Mark. So, Mark, I'm handing it off to you. Let's go to these Saussure documents. And, Mark, you explain what you explained on Hagman last night about the oath you took, about Saussure, about what happened, and the fact that Hillary Clinton still has never been held to account. Go ahead, bud. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. Scroll down, Jared, to where it says background. So this is the actual sentencing document from the Supreme Court against Saussure.
Yep.
And keep going. It'll say factual background. These are the laws he broke, which are all correct. Factual background. The defendant, enlisted in the Navy, having scored the top 10% of his ASVAB. A lot of us took that. He was invited to join the Naval Nuclear Power Program. He went to Nuclear Field A School in Charleston. Keep scrolling. This is a hands-on equipment course. And then he went to Nuclear Power School for 24 weeks, which provided, again, the defendant trained. Then he was stationed aboard a prototype. So if you keep going.
You've been through some of this training, right, Mark?
Yeah, that's the point. As I read this, this is exactly what I did. Exactly. And then he was stationed aboard the USS Alexandria, where he took some of his pictures. He was through to what roving watch. So basically, I read this, and this guy was me. This guy was me. And he violated his signature, where he signed off on being a classified material custodian, that Hillary Clinton had to sign, that I actually signed. So basically, I could have accidentally done this if I'd have taken pictures aboard the ships I was on, but I didn't.
He took some pictures of the submarine that he was on, and they considered him, boy, that's classified stuff, shouldn't be out there. And this is what they came asking for.
That's right. And of the 12 documents he had, the story's very interesting in this. You are welcome to get this, put it in the after show, Jared. But he left his cell phone, and he didn't turn it off. It basically died, and somebody found it when it was thrown out. The person who found it found the pictures on this phone, and they found Saucier's pictures. So they turned it in and knew something was funny about these pictures, and that's how he got in trouble. So he didn't use that phone for sharing to other people. Within this document, it tells you that he transferred pictures back and forth, and he done some things with them, but there's no indication that he shared them with intent to do anything with it. But he was still prosecuted, so he did not have intent. And he was prosecuted.
Just like Hillary.
So the other thing,
Comey said you could put Hillary's name on Saucier. And Comey could have been studying the Saucier case and then said there's not enough evidence. She didn't do it on purpose. No prosecutor would ever prosecute.
And if you go back to what we just read about equal justice, the government can't do that. They can't apply the rule differently. So if you look at the pardon, this is the actual presidential pardon.
He spent time in jail, right, Mark? He spent time in jail.
63 months he was awarded, and then Donald Trump pardoned him right here. And you can take a look. His signature's on it. Full and unconditional pardon for his conviction of the same statutes that were in that other sentencing document. And there's Trump's signature. So I said on the Hagman show, why didn't Hillary get one of these for the material breach she was involved in? Well, of course, she wasn't prosecuted. This guy spent 63 months or a portion of that in jail. Meanwhile, she's out free, living her life, spending her money, taking money from other people, being paid by whoever to do whatever she does. Why is this justice so unequal? And how can we stand by and allow these cronies to get away with it when we have a constitution? And moreover, Coach, it really bothers me that anyone would be against this. I'm like Chad. It makes me mad. Do they not want to stand up for a constitution? Do these naysayers want us to just, line out those lines in the constitution?
Well, Mark, I hear people all the time. They say, well, time you woke up and understood there's two systems of justice in this country. Well, okay, I'm awake. Is that okay with you? It's not okay with me. Say, well, Coach, you're not going to be able to do anything like that. There's 6 days from Sunday to get you. I know, but I'm going to fight this fight for the sake of little David up the hill. I'm going to fight this fight.
Until it affects them, Coach, right? When the self-preservation kicks in, when it's their neck on the line, then they want everybody to come to their rescue.
That's right, man. That's right, folks. This is so critical. So, keep going, Mark. I'm sorry.
I'm going to finish up with, I went over the First Amendment just like you did on the Hagman show. And then I talked about the 14th Amendment, but I shared, we are the country that has the longest running constitution. We are the country that has a First Amendment and has a right free speech. But what I talked about on Mike Heath's show today is, what if you speak out against Muslims or radical Islam?
Oh.
Immediately banned. How can they do that if we have freedom of speech? But you can persecute Christians, you can kill thousands of Christian ministers and whatnot, and that's okay. How come we allow a double standard within our borders? Why do we allow it?
Hey, Mark, this came to me. Folks, are you ready for a mic drop? I got my big mic here. I'm going to get ready to drop it. Let me get this thing. I'll get ready to drop this thing, all right? Get ready to drop it. You know, everybody says, well, you got to get permits. You guys got to get permits to do a parade. You got to get permits to walk. Man, you got to get permits. Have you got permits from the government? You ready for the mic drop? You suppose Antifa gets permits?
Right, they don't need a bloody thing.
No, we always have to have permits. Really? Well, what if 5,000 of us showed up there in cars? Who's going to have the permit? And what are they going to do about it? What are they going to do about it? Don't you understand, folks, that the city of Chappaqua cannot prevent us from, what's the First Amendment say, to freedom of assembly, peaceful assembly? They can't stop our peaceful assembly just because they're rich and got nice manicured lawns. They say, take your complaint down to the east side of Newark, New Jersey. Wait, take that complaint that nobody cares down there, but don't bring it to Chappaqua. Hillary lives here.
It's all about fear, Dave.
I'm sick of it, man. I'm sick of it.
Fear.
What's that mean?
It's all about fear, Dave.
It's all about fear.
They can make you afraid that you won't do it. And that's why most people won't get up and do this, is because they're afraid. They're afraid of losing their little world, their self-preserved life. And if you're not willing to do this, anything for God, how can we even call ourselves a Christian if we're not willing to be persecuted?
How can we look our grandchildren in the eye? How can I do that?
Sometimes we have to stand the bully down. I remember in Alabama when I had a Secret Service guy come up, we were out in front of the federal building, and he told me, he asked me, do you have a permit? I said, I have a constitutional right. You know what that guy told me? He said, that don't mean nothing here in Alabama. That's what he told me. So I said, well, you do what you got to do. I said, but I'm not leaving.
That's right. Somebody said, where'd you get the permission? Who gave you permission to be here? One of those cops asked me one time. I said, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison. They don't get it, man. They don't get it. And it's little by little by little. Hey, listen, I hate to do this to you, but I don't hate to do it to you. Jared, go to my commentary. This is so critical that we understand this. So critical. I'm going to fast read this thing for you because there's some great points in it. Words are powerful. They can make or break an argument, a relationship, or even a judicial system. Our entire nation has been captured, and we really have no idea how it happened. Well, let me help you here. One of the greatest weapons that the left has used to steal this nation is through the power of words. Just stop and consider for a moment the words that we use today, and that they have nothing to do with the meaning of the words 50 years ago. Some call it evolution. I call it destruction. Devolution is actually a better term. America hasn't evolved, it's devolved. Despite what the academics, entertainers, and talking heads have told you, America is not better off today than it was 50 years ago. We've been lied to, snookered would be the better term, by the wordsmiths and the effective decade-long march through the institutions of America. Think about the words, how the words have changed. Gay, tolerant, accepting, love, judgment, and all neutral words that have been weaponized. Heck, masculine, male, man, are all nothing more than identifiers twisted and used for an evil intent. The altering of words has turned America upside down. Today, the children and those who act like children are running the world. How did this happen? By force. That's how they did it. But we don't understand that process either, because we have allowed the world wordmeisters to misrepresent what force even means. Read carefully this verse out of Matthew. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. Is force violence? Is violence force? Why is it we always hear from the America's pulpits that we are to avoid violence while our entire heritage is being taken from us? Violence is a result of force. Let me do a word excavating with you. Webster says it's a great place to start if you want to understand. Can someone explain to me why you find yourself calling homosexuals gay? Homosexuals aren't gay, happy. They're some of the nastiest people we run into while doing street ministry. Yet the culture has programmed us to call them by the name that the left has chosen, gay. And we dutifully comply. Folks, why do you call homosexuals gay? Whose idea was that? Force is defined by Webster as to compel, to constrain, or to forbear by exertion of power, not resistible. Men are forced to submit to conquerors, to overcome by strength, to overpower by strength. Isn't that exactly what the left has done to our culture? Would you like me to rattle off for you the devastating cultural changes that have been forced down our throats through the judicial process? Have they taken over our schools and the education of our children by the use of violence or by force? Has the name of Jesus been stripped from the minds of our children and our government by the use of violence or by force? You see, violence is what they accuse us of when we choose to push back against the force that they've applied. Like they train, like trained monkeys, we all paired the same mantra. Don't get violent, boys. Don't get violent. The left uses force while they accuse us of violence. The two words aren't that different. But the word violence is a sham. Webster says it's to injure, to hurt, to interrupt, to disturb, to break, to infringe, to transgress. Don't you understand how much the average Christian has been violated by the force of the left? Everything the left has destroyed in this nation has been done through the use of force. Judicial force in particular. They have perpetrated violence on the belief of Jesus-fearing Christians for nearly 70 years. And we are the ones they accuse of threats of violence. The FBI visits me! My friends, as difficult as this is for you to swallow, violence comes about as a result, as the last result of those who have been forced to accept things against their will. The left and the courts have forced us to violate our conscience while warning us not to get involved, to get violent. Force by deception is violence. That's a mic drop. We're at a crossroads in America, and if we do not push back with force against the demonic left, violence awaits us on the horizon. We must push back now with an even greater force to prevent physical violence in the streets. Violence is defined as unjust, listen to this, unjust force, moral force, vehemence. That's violence. Unjust force, moral force, vehemence. We've lost America through the use of unjust moral vehemence, which was forced upon us. We have been violated. The weapons they have used have been lies and deception. Those are far more dangerous and destructive than any man-made weapon. Properly applied moral force will ultimately prevent violence. Let's push back now before it's too late. For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it not by violence, but by force. We got to get, folks, we got to get that straight in our head. They say anytime we push back, we are violent, while they cram everything else down our throat. I've had enough of it. Come on in, rescue me.
Coach, I want to piggyback on what you said a few minutes ago about praying for it, praying for this, praying for that. And this is a revelation that I have seen in the last few days. Prayer is action. Just like, because prayer, if you're not praying in faith, you don't expect anything. I think it says that in James. Don't expect a thing if you're not praying in faith. Now, faith is an action verb. Faith toward God. Faith is putting into action what you believe. So prayer without action is useless. Now, there are people who maybe the only thing they can do is pray. They're bedridden. They can't even get up and use the bathroom themselves maybe, but they can still pray. Now, that person, that prayer is an action for them. But anyone that can do something, you know, it may not be anything, but find one of your friends that can do something more than you can do. If you can't afford $2 to donate, find a friend and tell them about it and ask them to donate in your stead, because you can't take some kind of action. Because if you're not taking action, you're not praying.
Amen. Amen. Jared, pull up the website again, equaljusticetour.com. And why is it an Equal Justice Tour? Because this is the first one, boys. This is a tour. This is the first one. The standard is equal. The standard is justice. Meet us at the crime scene. There it is. Copy that link, equaljusticetour.com. Put it out there to all your friends. Come enjoy a day at Chappaqua. We're going to drive through that town. We're going to have signs. We're going to honk our horn. We are going to do a rolling tour, which is perfectly, the cops can't do anything. Oh, they'll try, but they're going to get sued like they ain't never been sued for the violation of our God-given First Amendment right to peaceably assemble, even though they don't want us in Chappaqua, New York. Great times, man. Powerful time to be alive. Don't miss it. Share it. Do whatever you can to raise the awareness. We are going to take back this nation by the sheer force of the gospel of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.